And so, Brian, our first order of business will be to have our, a public hearing on our budget. So, and then we will call the meeting to order and come to you.
Okay, sounds great.
When we're going to do the swearing in.
We're going to call the meeting to order and do the swearing in, and then...
Yes, like I said.
Okay. All right. Cheryl was worried you said it backwards.
Well, if I do, just stop me. So I'm capable of, I surprise myself at how I can do that. Okay. So I'm ready to hit record. All right, I'll call the meeting to order of Orrville City Council here for July 6th, 2020. Our first order of business tonight before we begin our regular meeting is a public hearing on the 2021 budget resolution. So we will open that public hearing and ask if anyone would like to speak to the subject of the 2021 budget resolution. All right, very good. Hearing no one, we will close the public hearing and proceed with our regular city council meeting. Our first order of business will be to swear in our new member of council, Carrie Foy. Welcome. And so, Carrie, if you can take your place there alongside Cheryl Kirkbride. Carrie is joining us. She is replacing Dino Carrozza as the Ward 3 City Council representative to fulfill Dino's term. So we'll be welcoming her tonight, and we'll turn it now. We'll turn it over to Mrs. Kirkbride.
I state your name.
I, Carrie Foy.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
To support the Constitution.
To support the Constitution.
Of the United States of America.
Of the United States of America.
And the state of Ohio.
And the state of Ohio.
To uphold the charter and ordinances of the city of Orrville.
To uphold the charter and ordinances of the city of Orrville.
And to faithfully.
And faithfully.
Honestly.
Honestly.
And impartially.
Discharge the duties
of the office of Orrville City Council with the City of Orrville. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, welcome, Carrie.
Congratulations.
We will open our meeting tonight then in prayer with Pastor Brad Deuce from Orrville Baptist Church.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a good, good God. Thank you for your grace that it is given to us, not because we deserve it, just because you are a great, great God. And so I praise you and thank you for that. Thank you that you're a merciful God. You don't treat us as we deserve. We don't receive from your hand as though we should. And Lord, your mercy is great in our lives. We praise you for that. Lord, tonight as the council meets, I pray, Lord, for your wisdom over them. Lord, we're in times that are unprecedented. And so I pray, Lord, that your wisdom would be great in their lives. May your blessing and your grace be theirs tonight in an abundance, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brad. Appreciate you being here tonight.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, and bless God bless you as well. All right, now I need to turn our attention here to the flag. We'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Very good. If the clerk would please call the roll for us.
Hamburg.
Here.
Espiris.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Foy.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
All right, thank you very much. Hopefully you've had a chance to review the minutes of our last meeting, and if we could have a motion to approve those minutes.
A motion to approve. Yes, Mr. President.
Thank you. Mr. Mosley moves. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion, Mr. President.
All right, second. Mr. Lorison.
Asparis?
Yes.
Lorison?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanward?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. We have no special committee reports for tonight, and we don't have any public comment for tonight either, and so we will move to our standing committee reports, and we will begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee and Mr. Hanward.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's a lot going on at this point, but we have not met recently, and we have no report at this point.
All right, thank you. Utilities Committee, Mr. Spiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has not met. I have no report for tonight.
All right, thank you. Ordinance and Personnel, Mr. Lorison.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met, and therefore I have no report.
All right, thank you. Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a couple of things. One, I was informed today by our engineer that North Star was awarded. They came in as the lowest bidder to start our road work that we have in the budget for this year. They plan to start towards the end of August, in the beginning of September, somewhere in that time frame. And then I'm sure Mr. Wheeler would be able to talk about more, you know, about which roads they'll be jumping on and all that good stuff. Another item that I have is I would like to propose a committee meeting for transportation for the purpose of discussing our sidewalk project that we have going on, as well as I've had a few people, a few citizens come up to me and ask me about legalizing side-by-sides. So that's just one thing that I would like to discuss. I was out doing yard work last week, and someone just came by and asked me, hey, what do we have to do? And then I was out driving my car, and there was one driving up Market Street. You know, so it's just one of those things where, you know, the little bit of research I've done, most states, they leave it up to local municipalities. I talked to the chief a little bit about it, but I just ask that committee meetings just come with a little bit of, you know, research and detail so we can have a good discussion to see if it's best for our community.
All right, I think we'll turn here to Mr. Wheeler for a moment on this. Do we need to do some research on some existing regulations or legislation in place for these side-by-sides? And do we have all of our preparation together to speak to the sidewalk issue as well? Oh, you're muted still. Mr. Wheeler, you're still muted.
Talk louder. Sorry about that. Yes, we're definitely ready to talk about the sidewalks. That's really, truly just more of a council decision on how to proceed on that. On the side-by-sides, yeah, I would definitely ask our law director to kind of do some research and see what's existing and what's permitted within the state of Ohio.
Mrs. Kirkbride, I wonder, we only have one more meeting here for the rest of this month, and then we're in recess in August. Would you need until September?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like I said, no rush. I definitely wanted to bring that up, you know, because it's been brought to my attention a couple of times, and that's one of those things where, you know, it's not a golf cart, it's something faster. You know, one of my concerns that I have personally is I don't know if I would want to see someone under 21 years of age, you know, on a side-by-side in Oroville. So,
yeah, I remember when I was that age, so yeah.
Yep, so September, we definitely look for a meeting for that. Would you like to push a sidewalk discussion to September also, Mr. Wheeler?
That's fine. Yeah, I think we're in good shape timing-wise on that. So, yep, I'm comfortable just putting it together.
Perfect. Okay.
Mr. Lorison, did I see your hand?
Yes, I just wanted to
add a little bit to the discussion. The state changed its law on golf carts a few years ago. We responded to that in the manner that we could by being more restrictive than the state law. And one of the very specific restrictions was a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. And I think that's the thing that really put the side-by-sides out. And it was a safety concern. So I would anticipate that those same considerations will go into any sort of possibility of side-by-sides being legalized. So I don't know if you should get your hopes up, but that's where we came from before. Sorry about the cat in the picture there.
Definitely, I think that's something where it's definitely, you know, it would definitely tie an ordinance, you know, in there. That's just something where, you know, I was told to bring it up, and here we are.
Okay. So, well, good. Why don't we set a date for that committee meeting at our next council meeting here in July? How's that sound? That way, Mrs. Kirkbride might have a little bit of time to do some work, and then we'll pick a date here in September for that meeting.
Yes, sir.
Does that work for everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right, very good.
With that, Mr. President, I have nothing else.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll move on then to our Health and Safety Committee. Now, we're doing some rearranging here. Mr. Aspiris was chairing the Utilities Committee, and he's had previous experience at the Health and Safety Committee, and so with our new member of council here and some, we're going to be moving some things around. And so Mr. Spears has agreed to once again share the Health and Safety Committee. And I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you have anything to share for us tonight? You're doing double duty.
No worries. Sure. It's more related to the budget, but I will share with council and the administration. I did go ahead and meet with Chief Burbeck and Chief Bishop and Mr. Wheeler. Just concerning the budget, you know, as far as health and safety goes, and everything was good there. We had some good discussions, but anything past that for right now, no further report.
All right, very good. Sounds like you're preparing to pick up right where you left off there a couple years ago.
Sir.
So thank you very much. All right, and then we'll move to our planning committee, and Mrs. Whitmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right, thank you. And then finally, our finance committee. And Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have not met, but I do want to welcome Carrie Boyd to the team. Nice to have you with us. Also, the second reading is tonight for the 2021 budget. Just wanted to make note of that. And also some notes on the email that Director Strindland sent all of us on Friday. First, congratulations to a clean 2019 audit. Congratulations to the finance department. Just as the email stated, there were three suggested IT improvements. You know, I consider that mostly administrative improvements. And so, as her email did state, if anyone in council wants to have a final conference, to let her know by the end of tomorrow. But I had gone ahead after our discussion last week and seen that there were no suggestions that were really pertinent to our business. I went ahead and signed the waiver for the audit. So, but again, if anyone wants to have a final conference, to let her know by the end of tomorrow, and I believe that's all I have.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I already mentioned we have no special committee reports for tonight, and so we'll move on to our administrative reports, and we will begin with Mayor Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would also like to just congratulate Carrie Boy and welcome her to council. We look forward to working with you. And several other items. Number one, with the 4th of July being past us now, hopefully everyone stayed safe. I know there was an awful lot of noise for three nights in a row, and I did not hear of any serious injuries from fireworks, so I hope that's true. Second, Congressman Gonzalez will have office hours tomorrow in Orrville. He'll be upstairs in the council room in City Hall. This is something that he normally would have done at the library, but they were not able to accommodate him and work that out. So we offered our council room for him to do that. So the hours are from 11:30 to 1:30, and that's open to anybody that would want to stop in and see him. I believe they will be doing the regular safety precautions with social distancing, and I would imagine they prefer that someone would wear a mask if they come in. I believe they will be doing that. So that's tomorrow. We still have a hot week ahead of us, so hope everyone stays hydrated and is careful of getting sunburned if you're working outside, and grateful that the pool was able to open. We got it open just in time for a week or two of cool weather. It was kind of a bummer, but I think people are definitely enjoying it now if they're going swimming. So we appreciate that. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Minion will be in the next couple weeks installing a gas line on West Chestnut. That they're doing that now so that they can get that job completed before we pave the street as part of the OPWC project. As Mr. Mosley mentioned, OPWC's asphalt overlay project should start the end of August, early September. West Chestnut, South Walnut, Smucker, Vine, South Crown Hill, and South Elm are the streets, just as a kind of a reminder. Also, as the mayor mentioned, the pool has had a really busy weekend. We had a great weekend of attendance. 624 people in attendance Friday through Sunday. We did have some extra shifts in there as well. We added some Friday and Saturday for the holidays. They do plan to hold a moonlight swim in addition to our regular hours on this Friday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that is my report for tonight.
Thank you. I'm just curious how the social distancing and all those new guidelines, how are those working out?
I have to be honest with you. Everyone's really done a great job with that. You can tell they're very conscious about, you know, abiding by those regulations. I give a lot of credit to the pool staff and the and our service department for kind of making it very clear what the expectations are. And honestly, it's really a very chill atmosphere there this year, to be honest with you. So, yeah, everything went really well so far.
All right. Well, that's good news. Thank you for that report. We'll move on to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brenninger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have two brief comments this evening. Our utility personnel have fully transitioned back into fully staffed workforces in all of our utility departments other than our two IT folks. Those two gentlemen still are working from home. You've also may have noticed some activity at the power plant last week and going into this week, and basically that is putting us in position to deal with the potential peaks. If you recall, our fees that we pay to the transmission system operator and the transmission system owner in our region are established based on how well we perform or how well that plant generates during the top five peak periods during the year. So that is why the plant is up and running this week, and will most likely be running through the balance of the week, depending on weather. Otherwise, the balance of our utilities are been pretty quiet. Like I said, other than the return of all of our utility staff and our office staff personnel this week. And, as we are doing on the city side, we're still monitoring the whole COVID issue and still making and taking all those other precautions from a safety perspective within the vehicles we drive, the offices, and the control rooms to make sure we're keeping our personnel safe. Otherwise, that's all I have to report tonight, unless there are any questions. Thank you. Seeing none, we'll move to our finance director and Ms. Strimlin.
Hey, Mr. President, I have just a couple items this evening. Mr. Wilson already mentioned a few of these, so I apologize for the redundancy. But our 2019 audit was completed by the state of Ohio. Each of you should have received a draft copy of the CAFR and also the management letter detailing the results of that audit. I do expect that the auditor's office will make an official release of that document probably in the next 2 weeks. After that occurs, we can discuss the CAFR or the audit in more detail. Until then, though, I am pleased to report that we did have another clean audit. There were, as Mr. Wilson mentioned, three recommendations made for our consideration. Because they're recommendations, they're not mandated, but rather they're provided to us for a cost-benefit analysis. After reviewing those, we went ahead and implemented those recommendations. The state, again, is not requiring the post-audit conference, but if anyone from council would like to participate in that, let me know. I can contact someone and set that up. Also, we filed the CAFR with the GFOA for evaluation for the Excellence in Financial Reporting Award. Usually, we receive the outcome of that November-December timeframe, so we're hopeful that we'll qualify again for that reward. And again, as soon as the audit is officially released, I will notify council and we'll put the documents up on our city webpage. I also wanted to mention our utility disconnection process. As you know, we did suspend that process in March due to the pandemic. It's a difficult decision, but we do have to start our disconnection process again. It's our hope that the stimulus payments were helpful to some of our customers. We have also offered payment plans to those individuals that were financially impacted by COVID. And there are numerous social service agencies that have been very generous in helping individuals that are struggling with utility bills and things of that nature. But we are a public power utility. We're not investor-owned. We can't go on indefinitely with unpaid accounts. We owe it to our customers to collect those past due accounts because in the end, unpaid balances factor into our rates for all of our customers. So beginning this Wednesday and Thursday and every Wednesday and Thursday for the month of July, we will be disconnecting electric service. Just wanted council to be aware of that in case you get any phone calls or anyone approaches you. If that does happen, I'd ask that you encourage them to visit the Orrville Utilities website and explore the payment plan option. And also if they reach out to local social service agencies if they are in need to see if they would qualify for that. And the last item on my report would be the fund balance for the period ending May 31st. I believe that was distributed to council in their council packet by Jean Gault. And I just asked for a motion to approve that report subject to audit.
So moved.
Mr. Larson moves.
Second.
And Mr. Wilson seconds.
Thank you.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. As we're talking about utilities, I forgot to mention that Mrs. Foy will be the new chairperson for the Public Utilities Committee. So we want to welcome her to that. That's a very important committee. It represents a large part of our city's operations. And it's a great place for a new council member to start because there's a lot that you can learn about how the City of Utilities works. We're very, very fortunate here in Orrville to have city-owned utilities. You'll get to learn a lot of neat things here in our city through that. So we thank you for doing that.
Great, thank you.
Very good. And we'll move on then to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
All right, thank you. And then for my report, I just wanted to touch on something that has affected all of us here as the subject of race relations has come to the fore.
here in every community across our country and around the world. And so some people might wonder, okay, what is Orville doing, or what have we been doing in the area of race relations in our community? And it was interesting, Mr. Mosley put on his just his personal Facebook page, would anybody be interested in just a roundtable discussion? And last count, 33 people responded. And we don't have a table that big to have a roundtable discussion. And so he and I talked about it, and I said, well, let's see if we can expand this opportunity to engage with the community. And so we're working on a citizen review panel. And so I just wanted to share my screen with you here for just a minute. And are y'all seeing that yet?
No.
Okay. Let me try again here. There we go. Okay. I think I've got it now.
There.
There it is. All right. And so we are proposing that we take this idea that began there with Mr. Mosley. And obviously, we've got a lot of people in our community who care deeply about our community and have a lot of community pride. And so they care deeply about this issue. And we want to work together on this. And so I'm proposing a citizen review panel that would be addressing race relations in Orville here through transparency, by engagement, by cooperation, and thereby inspiring confidence in the processes and procedures that we have here in Orville, and that since our citizens have had a chance to engage in these issues together, that we can have confidence that we are handling these issues appropriately in a way that honors all people. Now, if I can, here we go. The process that we would take part in would be to conduct a review and assess our city's policies, procedures, and priorities. And a good way to know what our priorities are is to look at your budget and see how those things impact our community and specifically race relations. And then we also want to provide a process for people to put forward their proposals. A lot of talk has been going on around here, well, not around here, but everywhere. And so if someone has any proposals or would like to explore something specifically, let's put a process in place so that people can put those proposals forward in the area of strengthening race relations. And again, that community panel will be able to review those proposals, discuss them, and explore their ramifications. One thing I want to emphasize is this would be a citizen-driven process. It will progress through its work in an orderly manner, and this process will be facilitated by moderators who will be simply making sure the group stays on task and is working through what it is dealing with here in an orderly manner. City Council and administration, of course, will be involved as we want to be engaged in these issues and engaged as we hear people. We'll be there to provide information. We'll be there to answer questions. But most importantly, we want people to know we will be there and we will be there to listen. The structure is kind of loose at this point, but right now the initial idea would be to have a main working group with 30-some people, plus council, plus administration. This is going to, you know, it's going to be a big group, and so we need to be giving some thought on how to make sure this group can work effectively together. And so perhaps the idea of a main working group, that group might meet 4 or 5 times. And so there's a time commitment there, but they would review feedback, and they would present ideas for improvement to City Council, and then City Council would then work with the administration and, if necessary, go through that legislative process of having committee meetings and so forth, and then deal with any legislation that may come out of this. But in conjunction with the main working group, there would be focused subcommittees, and that would be an opportunity. Maybe somebody doesn't want to come to 3 or 4 meetings, but they're interested in a particular issue. A focused subcommittee would be an opportunity there
where you can just choose on a particular area to focus on. And that subcommittee then can request more detailed information. You can have deeper discussions there. And that subcommittee then would present their findings and feedback to that main working group, where they would then process that and put all of those, that information together from all those subcommittees, and organize that and address those issues then with council. So the plan here is just going to take a little while to, you know, to figure these things out, but we would work out these details and logistics over the next several weeks. Council is in recess in August, and so it's going to take some time here. Daryl had said, hey, let me know here in the next few days, and so he had put a time out there, let me know by this time. And obviously with that level of interest, you know, we would go ahead and extend that invitation, you know, for a longer time period, allow more people to participate as more people hear about this process. But just to give people an idea, these meetings would probably begin this fall. Hopefully in September, if we can pull everything together by then. Obviously, a big part of this is just logistics with all of the social distancing and all that kind of stuff that's going on right now. So, you know, your ideas and feedback are really welcome at this point in the process. And so, you know, the main thing is that, you know, I think our citizens have shown that they care deeply about these issues and want to work together to make sure that Orrville is a wonderful place to live and continues to be so. And so it's just an opportunity to learn more about what our city is doing. And if there's any feedback there, or if anyone wants to put forward any proposals for us to consider to continue to improve our community, then this citizen review panel would be an opportunity for citizens to do that. So just let any of us know if you'd be interested in being a part of that process. We already know that there's 33 people signed up, but of course more people are welcome to join us, and we will get your name as someone who wants to participate, and we'll be forwarding more information and more ways that you can take part in these in the next several weeks. So this is the first time that council is hearing about this. Does anyone have any questions here right now? Of course, we'll be giving a lot more discussion to this going forward. But any discussion at all at this point? Yes, Mr. Mosley.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. So obviously, this originated from the protest that we had, you know, come through town. For one, you know, I still stand by it. I think, you know, administration and the police department handled it very well. You know, they definitely put things together. They researched and figured out what they were dealing with, and you know, went through it. So, you know, this is just another thing where, you know, this is the second protest that we've had, you know, in Orrville. You know, obviously it's a different, you know, topic, but this is just us again saying, you know, hey, you know, you protest in our town, you know, we hear you, you know, I mean, let's talk about it, or let's figure things out, you know, our way. You know, I spent about 3 days on the phone with a lot of different citizens, and that's from the black community and the white community. You know, and the black community is just pretty much said, you know, we don't want to bring problems here in Orrville that we're not dealing with. You know, and that's the biggest one is, you know, I mean, we can't make national problems, you know, Orrville problems. So, I mean, we need to take a proactive approach to say, okay, what's going on here? Do we have these problems? You know, if so, you know, how are we going to deal with them before it gets out of control? So that's just us being, you know, responsive. You know, you had a protest here, we hear you, now let's talk about it. One of the biggest things that someone said to me is, you know, there's a time where you protest and you protest to be heard, you know, then obviously, you know, you gotta be ready to calm down and go to the table and actually talk. And that's where we're at. I mean, I don't wanna see 50 more protests, you know, in order for the same thing. That means that we're just ignoring them.
I do
like your little slideshow and your ideas that you put together. I mean, it's definitely a start.
Anyone else have any comments or questions at this point? All right, very good. So, in summary, we just invite the community to engage with us.
as we go through this process, and we'll be very interested to share what the city is doing and to hear your thoughts and your proposals as well. So, all right, that's all I have for my report. We will move on to old business and turn to Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 2420. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Second.
Second. Mr. Wilson.
Mosley.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 2420, a resolution approving the budget for the city of Orrville, Ohio for the calendar year 2021 and declaring an emergency.
Does anyone have any questions or comments? I know we've had a first reading and you've had this budget now for a few weeks, but just want to give anyone an opportunity to ask any questions they might have right now.
I can make a few comments for those that are unfamiliar with the process, and just to give you a little bit of background, the tax budget really represents a first step in balancing our current future priorities and initiatives for the city against the projected available revenues to accomplish that. The budget is a statutory requirement, basically demonstrating a need for existing or increased taxes. Just a reminder again to council that your approval of the budget does not give the authority to expend funds. That comes in the form of the final appropriations resolution that's brought to council in March, and it's that document that will permit expenditures. With the exception of capital project planning and power generation requirements, most expenditures that are contained in the 2021 budget are the same as our 2020 final appropriations. Just to give you the totals, the proposed budget is $57 million. For the general fund, we have allocated $7.5 million without any additions from the 2020 final appropriations. Looking at that a little differently, we have 47% that's allocated for police and fire, 20% for street maintenance, repairs and improvements, 10% for the cemetery, parks, pools, and recreation, and the remaining for all the other departments. Aside from the general fund, the remaining tax-supported funds have a $6 million budget. That is a $623,000 decrease from the 2020 final appropriations, and that's primarily due to the completion of some capital project work. For the enterprise, the utility funds, we've budgeted $43 million. That is a $1.7 million decrease from the final appropriations. This is due to a change in purchased power and due to our anticipated generation and also market transmission cost fluctuations. If anyone has any questions for myself or the Safety Service Director or the Utility Director, we'd be happy to try and answer those for you. And other than that, this should go the full three readings.
All right, a budget is simply a list of priorities, isn't it? What's most important to us. And so we do invite the public, if you have any questions, or you're welcome to review the budget for yourself and contact any of us if you have any additional questions on that. But we will let this go until its final reading at our next meeting. All right, so that will conclude our old business for this evening. We'll move on to new business.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance D-20. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Espiris.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Espiris.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Ordinance D-20,
an ordinance establishing a fire department vehicle and vehicle-related equipment replacement fund.
Very good. I love this idea already. Can we turn to Mr. Wheeler, perhaps, and provide some explanation?
Thank you, Mr. President. This legislation came out of some discussions that we had during our recent discussions of purchasing the fire truck. Mr. Spears Jr. has been very passionate about proceeding with this, knowing that over the next 15 years we have some significant capital fire vehicle purchases that will be coming our way. The way the legislation reads is $25,000 annually is transferred out of the capital fund directly into this fund, but it also allows for the opportunity for council to review our general fund EMS revenues and to also transfer a portion or all of that even over there to kind of fortify that fund. There are some significant vehicle purchases coming our way, so this is a great idea, I think, as well, to kind of get us in a better position, whereas we're not either using general fund money that kind of wasn't necessarily there to use, or capital fund money that then would kind of have to push other projects back as a result of. So our annual, just as an FYI, just for future purposes, EMS fund, the way we bring EMS receipts in is every time we receive money, 50% of that money goes in the general fund, 50% goes to our EMS fund. That EMS fund is specifically for either EMS training or EMS vehicle purchases, such as an ambulance. So the EMS general fund money has fluctuated, obviously it depends on the number of calls, but the last 10 years we went from $54,000 to almost $100,000 in the general fund split. So that kind of shows you too how the volume of calls has increased so much in that time span. So I'll be glad to answer any questions. It doesn't have to be approved tonight. It's just there so that we have a good plan tool in place, knowing that there's going to be some significant purchases heading our way in the next 15 years.
Mr. Wheeler, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I would start by saying I think this is a fantastic idea. My question, I guess, is there any other legislation or is there anything else like this that we currently have in place for whether it's equipment or, you know, with the EMS department?
Yeah, the EMS specifically has the identical fund. That fund is where the other 50% goes, and that is specifically for EMS vehicles and EMS-related vehicle equipment or training. So that EMS fund's there already, so this would address the other side of that, which is the fire department vehicles, which are quite a bit more expensive as well, so definitely much needed.
So those would be the only two that we really have that are out there with this type of fund?
Yeah, it's the only things I'm thinking of offhand. I don't know if Mr. Scrimlin had to think of anything else, but that those are the only two that I can think of related that kind of are set up this way, yeah.
Thank you.
I think I saw a hand there with Mr. Mosley.
Yeah, I just want to kind of let Councilman CJ, Councilman Hanwork know. This is something that Mr. Asparis and I was talking about, to where Mr. Willingham said that they just purchased an EMS vehicle, you know, with the EMS fund, and it was just a simple question. Hey, why don't we have a fund like this for a fire truck? That way we don't have to front so much money, you know, for the biggest purchase. And he said, you know what? That would be a great idea. So that's kind of where it originated from. It came from conversation, and I think this is kind of like the straggler of us actually passing legislation for the fire truck.
Yes, Mr. Spears.
Just to kind of piggyback off of those conversations and statements, you know, a big thank you to Mr. Wheeler for getting this going, as well as Ms. Kirkbride. Really, we've kind of been doing this anyways for quite a few years now, and that's what contributed to the $300,000 that we had for the last vehicle. This just officially has a fund set up now. It's earmarked, it's named for what its intended purpose is. But Mr. Wheeler's been doing a great job planning for, you know, what we have to budget for the vehicles when we buy them before. This is really just setting up a specific fund for that specific reason at this point.
Thank you.
Mr. Wheeler, I know you sent us a memo on this, but I wonder if you could just review for us some of the expenses that you think are coming up here in the next coming years. You know, how much is a particular piece of equipment you're looking to purchase, and is this fund designed to have all of that money available at the time it needs to be purchased, or will it be used in supplement with other general fund or capital improvement monies?
I would say ideally it would be there to completely pay for the purchase, but to be very honest, with the amount of dollars that are projected to come out, there's not, it's just not going to happen that way. But at least then the burden, I don't know if that's the right word, but the impact on the capital fund or the general fund would be significantly less at that point, at least. The big purchases coming up are in 2024 as a heavy rescue. Again, these are projected numbers, obviously, as time goes on, you know, with the inflation, it's hard to kind of predict, but the Chief Bishop predicts that will be a $925,000 purchase. The one that I hope everyone is sitting down for is in 2030, and I'm sure Mr. Spears knows where I'm going with this one, but the 2030 ladder truck replacement, which would be $1.7 million. And then in 2035, then a replacement of the next engine, which would he's projecting at $850,000 in 15 years, which based on the way we're seeing those prices go up, is probably pretty darn close. So. Overall, about $3.5 million in the next 15 years projected for the fire department fund. So we definitely need to get some plans in place and some dollars set aside, knowing that those are coming our way.
And one thing that we need to do, members of council, is to sit down. We've talked about this before, but to have a vision session for what do we want to accomplish together. And this is a good example of that, of what, you know, we have a general fund balance there. Is it good for us to set larger chunks of that general fund aside, transfer that to this fire equipment fund rather than just $25,000? You know, maybe looking at more than that, but that would require discussion for us to say what kind of general fund levels do we want to maintain. And so we really need to try to schedule some time to do that. I meant to do that. Then my report is would be to suggest, I don't know if anybody has time here yet this month, if we could get together maybe even next Monday or the, I guess it would be the fourth Monday of July. We need to do some orientation, but also I'd like to begin some of these kinds of discussions for how we want to approach some of these larger issues here together rather than piecemeal through legislation. So anyway, we'll address that at the end of the meeting. I'm likely to forget, so if one of you could help me remember. So,
Mr. President?
Yes.
If I may, I believe Mike Hedberg from Economic Development is going to be attending the next meeting. So I would maybe recommend not scheduling anything until after that, because that discussion will also be pretty pretty significant as well.
Okay, very good. So we'll probably just look at picking that up in September. So, okay. All right, very good. Any other, yes, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Wheeler, for getting this all put together. I do remember that committee meeting as we bought our last fire truck and talked about how well this would work if we could do something like this. So given the idea that I can't imagine any better use of our funds than to save for something that we know we're going to have to buy, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on current ordinance on 3-7 days be suspended.
I second that. Was
second, Mr. Mosley.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move ordinance V20. I move ordinance V20 be approved.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good, Mr. Larson.
Resolution 2520. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson seconds.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy. Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 2520. A resolution repealing and replacing Resolution 2320 in its entirety and replacing it with the following. A resolution passed by the City of Oroville, Ohio, affirming that funds from the County Coronavirus Relief Distribution Fund will be expended only to cover costs of the City of Oroville, Ohio, consistent with the requirements of Section 5001 of the CARES Act, as described in 42 U.S.C. 801, and any applicable regulations as is necessary pursuant to House Bill 481 before receiving said funds and declaring an emergency.
Pretty good. Ms. Strumlin, would you want to provide a word of explanation here for us?
Sure, I'd be more than happy to. This is, again, establishing a COVID fund for the CARES Act grant that we're going to be receiving. As I mentioned in our last meeting, additional legislation will be required, stating that we agreed to abide by the regulations for receiving and expending that funding. After reviewing with the law director, it was determined the best way to handle the situation would be to repeal and replace Resolution 2320. I do have an update since our last council meeting. After this legislation is passed, we'll be receiving $248,000 from the Wayne County Auditor. We are still evaluating the best way to utilize the funds. After we get a spending plan finalized, we will be bringing changes to the final appropriations to council so that we can in turn spend that money.
Very good. Any questions? Discussion?
I have a question.
Yes, sure. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Strumlin, how is that money dispersed then? Do we know that process, or is that something that you and the administration determine where to spend it, or is this more of a request scenario where businesses or organizations need to request those funds? How is that distributed?
The administration is going to be meeting. We've had some preliminary meetings. We attended some webinars on the permissible uses for these funds. We do have some ideas in place. Once we have a full plan, we will, like I say, bring that to council in the form of final appropriations to change our spending so that we can allocate it. Right now, we're looking at using those funds for payroll expenses to the extent that the regulations will allow. We also have PPE equipment that we'd like to have reimbursed, and also our new purchases that are going to be required. We want to continue with cleaning and sanitizing public spaces. All of that comes at an additional expense. We're still exploring utility subsidies for some of our customers, but to be perfectly honest with you, it does not look really promising at this point. We will be discussing further with the law director and the Office of Budget Management from the state of Ohio. So those are some of the areas that we're looking at, utilizing those funds for those purposes.
Thank you,
President.
Yes,
Mr. President. I can also mention that Thursday afternoon, we don't have the time set yet, but I'll be meeting with the commissioners. They requested several of us meet with them to also talk about those funds.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Given the fact that those funds are there and ready to be distributed, and we had actually set up what we thought the proper mechanism to do that before, and this is simply replacing that, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Handwork.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwork?
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move resolution 2520 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Handwork.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwork?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. That concludes our new business for this evening. Does anyone have any comments for the good of the order? Yes, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Wheeler, I should have caught you when we were talking about the full 30-year report. I know that during our workshop, we talked about possibly adding extending hours during severe heat waves. Sure looks like we have one of those coming. Have we thought through that? Is it possible that we may have extended hours during this heat wave?
Yeah, right. We added the moonlight hours on Friday. What we found on this kind of this three-day weekend is that right afterward time period didn't fare very well, that later afternoon.
So Gene can call the roll.
Okay. Mosley? Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwork?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. Just one quick closing comment here. As we deal with these Zoom difficulties, we'll give it one more meeting here in July. But if we have to continue in September, perhaps, I don't know if we can look at another venue. I know recording of the meetings is an issue. If we're not in City Council and Armstrong Cable wasn't recording our meetings there towards the end due to COVID concerns, so that'll be something that we want to address here if this continues and we're not allowed to meet together in our council chambers. Maybe we could look at a different venue or something else, some other way to figure this out. So something that's on our mind and just for us to continue to keep the discussion.
technical difficulties here at the end. Just
had you connected to your own?
I did it through my phone. Okay. I just did it through data.
Some sort of
yeah.
Connection.